The liturgical sense of the readings at Mass. Some of the most evocative descriptions we can use for the liturgy of the Catholic Mass include calling it a sacred procession, a divine symphony, the formation of a Eucharistic people, and an intimate encounter and communion with Jesus Christ. At its essence, the liturgy is a living God whose heart is pulsating for our divine purpose and destiny. The liturgy is not only a path, but also a means to a transcendent end, guiding the faithful toward the ultimate destination, judgment, on the final day. The liturgy breathes life into our spiritual journey, separating light from darkness and sanctifying those who walk in its wake. Indeed, every depiction of end times in sacred scripture is interwoven with the liturgy of the Mass, reaffirming this sacred truth and purpose. Today's first reading for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year B, from Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, sets the stage with the prophet Daniel's vision concerning end times. This preface is rich with liturgical imagery, such as St. Michael, whose prayer, Pope Leo XIII in 1866, was instituted to be cited after every Mass. The verse, "At the time your people shall escape, everyone who is found written in the book," evokes the image of those who have been baptized and confirmed in the church, their souls indelibly marked for salvation. Daniel's vision continues with verse 3, declaring, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, others to the reproach and everlasting disgrace." This speaks profoundly of resurrection and judgment, echoing the themes of mortality and repentance observed during our Ash Wednesday liturgy. It underscores the inevitability of death and the hopes of eternal life, urging the faithful to reflect on their lives and seek forgiveness as they embark on the Lenten journey. These passages from Daniel not only reflect upon the finitude of earthly existence, but offer a glimpse of the divine promise, encouraging the faithful to live purposefully and in communion with the divine. The liturgy thus becomes a beacon of hope and a guide, leading us towards our eternal destiny with clarity and grace. The vision in verses 10 through 12 most eloquently remind us of the culmination of the Church's sacramental mission on earth to separate and prepare. "Many shall be refined, purified, and tested, but the wicked shall prove wicked. The wicked shall have no understanding, but those with insight shall." When a daily sacrifice is abolished and a desolating abomination is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. The immediate interpretation of this verse relates to the destruction of the temple and the cessation of the Levitical priesthood and animal sacrifice. The ultimate fulfillment of this verse will manifest at the end of time, when Christ Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, and the heir of the church and her sacraments will reach their divine conclusion. The hour when this divine moment will come is illustrated in today's second reading from Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 1 through 14 and 18, which says, "But this one offered one sacrifice for sins, and his seat forever at the right hand of God. Now he waits until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated." Those who are being consecrated are those who are in communion with Christ Jesus through the liturgy of the Catholic Mass, becoming like him by partaking in the Holy Eucharist and living a life infused with the Holy Spirit. His enemies are those who have distanced themselves from this sacred communion. Another verse that foretells the coming of the hour when the age of the church militant reaches its fulfillment is described by Christ Jesus in today's Gospel reading from Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 32. He states, "In those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the sky." The patriarchs of our church have always used the moon as an analogy for the church. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, so too does the church reflect the light of the Son of God, making it even more visible in the dark places. However, on Judgment Day, even the lights of the church will be eclipsed as the heavens bear witness to the second coming of Christ in resplendent glory. Then, verse 12. "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." Must be contemplated in unity with Jesus' words in John, chapter 6, verse 62. Where he asked, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" The belief in Jesus ascending to heaven is intricately linked to his descending as the Lord of Pentecost and the Lord of the Eucharist. He who dwelled in heaven descended into the womb of the Virgin Mother. He who was raised upon the cross descended into hell. He who ascended to heaven descended once more with gifts on Pentecost and continues to descend in flesh and blood as the bread and wine in the Eucharist, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Indeed, the essence of the liturgy of the Catholic Mass is a living God who guides the faithful toward their ultimate destination, judgment on the last day. This truth is deeply rooted in apocalyptic prophecies, which often use the imagery derived from the Mass. Aside from today's readings, we might also consider the apocalyptic visions, such as those in the Book of Revelation, illustrate this connection vividly. For instance, Revelation chapter 1 verse 10 states, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, highlighting the sacredness of the day dedicated to worship. Furthermore, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 echoes the Sanctus, a hymn of praise sung during a Eucharistic prayer in the Mass, demonstrating the continuity between heavenly worship and earthly liturgy. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, and the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Is reminiscent of the Eucharistic celebration, often referred to as the wedding feast of the Lamb. Thus, the Mass not only celebrates Christ's sacrifice, but also prepares the faithful for their final judgment, encouraging them to live in communion with Him, ensuring they are judged well on the last day. The imagery of the Mass in apocalyptic prophecies serve as a constant reminder of the sacred journey and the ultimate destiny of the faithful. This is just one way how the readings at Mass this Sunday connect to the liturgy, and how the liturgy is forming us how to live our lives in the world. Be in the world which you have received through the liturgy. I am David L. Gray. Visit me online at davidlgray.info for more content and context about the liturgical sense of the scriptures.